Welcome to this week's episode of Onceable, Hypable's Once Upon a Time podcast. This week, we're going to discuss Second Star to the Right, the first half of the season finale. And I'm Jen, and I am joined by Jess, Karen, and Laura. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
All right, this episode was kind of a big one. I'm really excited. It was really good. So let's start off with thumbs up, thumbs down. Did you love it? Did you hate it? How are you feeling about it? So, Laura, you want to kick it off?
I loved it. I was, after a couple episodes of being, like, so-so about, I was like, I love this one. They kind of had me from the beginning, opening it in Kensington Gardens and Bay going to meet Wendy, and then with everything in Emma and Neil. I think I'm sort of becoming an Emma and Neil shipper. So I was very much in love with everything about this episode. I was very happy. Very, very happy.
Karen, how did you feel?
I really loved this one, too. I thought it was really mysterious and exciting, and there was a lot going on. We got, you know, some answers or maybe half answers. I don't think we really got the whole truth about, you know, Tamara and Greg yet, but they did answer some things, and yet there's still a lot more that I want to know. And there were a couple places that they took the episode that I just totally wasn't expecting, so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought this was a fantastic episode. Definitely the best episode that they've had in a while. There was just, I mean, every part of it. The past, like, fairy tale-esque story, the current story of what was going on. Like, every part was interesting and had my attention. Loved, like, all the Peter Pan twists and finding out what's going on a little bit more with, like, Tamara and all that. Like, it was absolutely great. And I'm like you, Laura, I haven't really had a ship necessarily for Emma or whatever, but this episode really made me love Emma and Neil, which kind of sucks that it drew me in on this one, but fantastic episode.
Yeah, I really, really like this episode. I especially like this episode because of what it's setting up for next episode and where it's setting up next season, because I really think this is a lead-in to where everything is headed. So it had so many great little details in it, and it had so many great moments for the characters, I think, as well. So let's just start off with what we saw to begin with. So we have this kind of beginning with Bay, who, when he leaves fairy tale world, where he ends up, and we realize he ends up in England in the time of Wendy Darling. So technically in the time of the Peter Pan story. And so this is kind of what we see is Bay sneaking into the Darling's house and stealing food and Wendy discovering him. So that's kind of our whole introduction to where Bay started off when he left fairy tale world. Were you guys surprised at all? I mean, was anyone really surprised by that? Or you are like, oh yeah, thanks. It's, you know, only taken you a season to tell us what we already knew. How did you guys feel about that?
Because he knows how to pilot Hook's ship. And I was just like, he's either a lost boy or he's part of the crew or just, like, you knew it. And the whole clues about, well, no, actually, I would be a lot older except for, you know, like that comment early on Neil made. Like, you knew it was all leading to something connected to Peter Pan and Neverland.
And plus the promo kind of gave it away too last time where, you know, you saw Wendy and I guess it was, you know, the shadow. I thought maybe it was Peter Pan there, but so it really wasn't a huge surprise. Although I will say that even though we saw Bay already, was it earlier or was it last season? I don't remember when he went down, you know, when his father let go of him. Like, it was really hard to watch. Even the second time around, I was like, oh, that's so painful.
So that wasn't a shocking moment to start off with, but what kind of surprised me was how it unfolded after that, which we'll get to in a little bit. But back in the regular world, we see Rumple, who is kind of reverted back to the Rumple of old after he lost Bay, very vindictive and cruel and nasty. And the source, interestingly enough, is Lacey, who, whereas before, when she was Belle, she was everything that was good in Rumple. She made Rumple a better person. Now he has the freedom to have her affection, if you will, and be horrible. What did you guys think about that? Because I thought that was an interesting twist of how Rumple's character kind of just did a 180 and was like, oh, you know what? That's fine. As long as I can have this person, no matter what form she is in, I'll be whatever fits her needs.
Yeah, this whole scene was interesting to me because you have, on the one hand, Bay, who everything Rumple has done up to this point has been to renew his relationship with Bay. And then you have Belle, who is now Lacey, who's the other person that Rumple has loved and was trying to change for these two people. And so now Lacey likes, you know, dark Rumple, the dark one. And so after trying to be good for so long, it's almost just like he's come out of prison and is just fallen into these old habits head first. And so he's kind of lost his way, lost in this haze of darkness. And then here comes Bay, or Neil, who says to him, you know, I'm not okay with this. I thought maybe you had changed, but clearly you haven't. As far as I'm concerned, you don't exist. And you can tell that Rumple, you know, he still thought that there was some hope there. Like, why did you stay then? And Neil says, I'm here because of Henry, not because of you. And you see that brief moment on Rumple's face where he's like, oh, well, poo.
you know, like, exactly.
And so you have these two people, and it's like this moment where he realizes how far he has fallen. And it's just so sad.
Yeah, I mean, for me, too, it was like he's just letting her continue down her path of destruction. I'm like, yes, help that child destroy her liver. I mean, he's just, you know, she's this, like, boozy, alcoholic floozy. And I'm like, it just, like, skeeves you out. Like, and, like, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that he's willing to just totally go down this horrible path. I mean, part of him has to know it's so superficial. I mean, it's so, she's enchanted. It's superficial. It's not real. Why play up to what's not real? Like, I mean, it was very frustrating. And the fact that he's just so willing to be cruel to other people. I mean, I sat there and went, oh, well, apparently that's where Whale is. I mean, we haven't seen him for a while. We were wondering what happened to Dr. Whale. Well, he was almost crushed under Rumple's boot. So that's the answer to that question. But just the fact that he just would so totally kind of disregard everything. But very, very disturbing.
Yeah, it's like he's showing off. Like, he's not even doing it to, you know, manipulate people or anything like that. He's literally just doing it to please Lacey. And it's so disappointing because she's nothing like Belle. She's nothing like the person that he fell in love with to begin with. And so why, other than what she looks like, you know, why would he even care about her if she's a completely different person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of funny that entered my mind, too, because, like, here she is, like, with every, like, vice in the world kind of just, you know, they're just, like, ticking them off one at a time. And they got to a moment there, and she was like, well, we could, like, have fun. And I'm going, oh, my God, are they going to go for totally gratuitous, meaningless sex? Let's just round it all off. And, I, you know, they stopped short of that. And I remember thinking, you know, if this was on HBO rather than a Disney show, they would have so been there already. Like, it's, like, all these ridiculous vices that are coming up. It's like, ugh, just awful.
Yeah, it is a little disturbing how drastically he changed for her and is willing to kind of push Bay aside or Neil aside because of her. So he's seeking out love, but he's only seeking it in really horrible, horrible places. So it's just really odd to kind of see him become so just kind of, I don't even know, like, sucked into the bad, into the negative, away from what he was so focused on.
You were a second away from, like, Willie Nelson's looking for love in all the wrong places.
I was just kind of like, I was trying to find the right words without sounding clinical because I wanted to use the word dysregulated. That's all I could think of.
Like, sing it to me, Willie. Oh, my God.
I'm just like, I can't find the right words without sounding, like, clinical, so I'm going to stop now. So, yeah, Rumple is on a path of self-destruction at this point in time. There's my clinical term for the day, self-destruction.
With or without Willie Nelson, but right. Yes.
With them strumming the banjo in the back. But the interesting part at the end of that conversation, because now Rumple's a little bit bitter with Neil for calling him out, he says, and what about you, Neil? You say you're here for Emma, but, you know, because Neil throws, well, you haven't even met Tamara. And Rumple's like, well, why would I meet her? She's not staying long. You're still in love with Emma. And Neil's kind of like, and kind of doesn't know what to say to that. Except flat-out denial, which I think we all know isn't true. So what did you guys think about that? Because now Rumple's, like, in the attack mode. He's like, fine, you want to, you know, say things to me? Well, I'm going to say them back, and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, there's a huge difference, though, between you know, having been in what he thought was a truthful relationship with somebody, meeting an old flame, and then meeting the son you never knew that you had, and it all becoming very complicated and digging up a lot of emotions that you never thought you were going to revisit versus willingly going down the dark path and using magic. Like, there's a huge difference to me. Like, I know Rumpel saying, oh, it's not that different, but like, yeah, it is. It really is. It's like a sin of omission versus a sin of commission, really, I think.
Yeah, that just felt almost like, you know, a kid giving an insult at another kid and then the kid coming back with like, well, you smell, or, you know, something stupid. Like,
yeah, I know. I kind of felt that way, too. Like, it was just kind of this, well, you're going to hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you, and that kind of thing. But I just thought it was interesting the way he kind of threw it at him, which Rumpel hadn't been so willing to do prior to this whole Lacey issue. He was busy trying to make amends before, and now it feels like he's just not as interested anymore.
Well, it's like now that Bay is back and still wants nothing to do with him, and he's lost Belle. Those were the two people that kind of kept his morality, that kept him going and kept him teetering on that line of right and wrong. And so now that they're gone and he doesn't really have anybody to hold him to that line, he's just completely fallen off and is just, he's lost. And I think that's kind of what that facial expression we saw was. It was just him. He's so lost and he has no idea what to do or where to go.
Very true. Very true. So the next thing we see in this lovely episode is Greg and Tamara, who are working together, who are clearly in love with each other, because Tamara says some very convincing things about how she's not interested in Neil, how she doesn't love Neil. It had never been Neil. It was all a game. And she's convincing Greg of this. And then they start talking about the company that they work for. It's very ominous in tone, and how they're all out to destroy magic, and they have Regina. And then Greg decides it'd be an awesome idea to torture Regina. So what do you guys think this mysterious company is?
Religious zealots are us. I mean, who is it? It's like weird.
Yeah, I have no idea. They didn't really give us a whole lot of clues to figure that out, but I really liked this twist because up until this point, I thought Tamara and Greg were sort of like, I don't know, they just needed more. They were just kind of there, the ominous bad guys, but you didn't really know what they were up to completely. And I think knowing that there's more people out there and that they work for this company is just really interesting. And the thing that I can't get out of my head is, yeah, like you said, Laura, she said unholy. Like, that's got to be a big clue, but I'm trying to think of any sort of fairy tale type connection, even though obviously they're against magic. Like, what could it possibly be related to?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a witch hunt, and the whole thing about, like, we believe in something and we're willing to die for our beliefs. I'm like going, this is getting like very like fanatical religious. Like, are we really going down this path? Like, I really want to know who they're going to connect this to, because on a level of just current things in the news and stuff, like, I don't think this is something they can, like, just sort of treat lightly, or they can get themselves in a lot of trouble here very quickly. Like, I think they have to resolve this in some way. I don't know. I think this could backfire on them unless they come up with something good here.
Yeah, I'm extremely intrigued by this, and I was glad that they gave this kind of backstory to these characters. It added a sense of believability and depth to them, because even if it is for Tamara, religious fanaticism, I almost see her like a Bellatrix in the sense of how she's just so fanatical about this ideal, whatever it is. And then you have, goodness gracious, what is his name? Greg. These double names, they still mess me up. But you have Greg, who has the thing with his father, which kind of pulled him into it. And it gave Tamara more of a motivation, which we needed from her. And I want to know what this company is, and if it's truly a religious fanaticism, or if they are something built on science or some other thing, and Tamara has become fanatic about it, or just what it is. It's fascinating.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm willing to bet it's based off of science, because he's Greg Mendel, And Gregor Mendel is a very famous scientist about, you know, genetics and stuff. So
I didn't even think about that.
I'm willing to bet that it is a science-based organization that's, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're saying because you can't scientifically prove or disprove magic that it's, that's why it's unholy, maybe?
If oh, that that's makes interesting. Sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, but actually. Really, Greg Mendel, I didn't pick up on the name. Yeah, no, that's great. I didn't
I
pick up on the
so
name.
Dumb. I feel yeah. so dumb for not picking up on that.
Yeah, yeah, the English and Spanish major in me clearly did not pick up on these points, so yeah.
It makes me wonder, sorry, kind of like off topic, I mean, same topic, but away from that. Do we think then that her in Greg's phone is not Tamara then? Like, maybe it's the leader of this company or something like that? Because I'm not totally convinced that it was Tamara now, especially since it's so weird to put her in his phone as her.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility that maybe we've all assumed it was Tamara, and there's obviously somebody scarier than Tamara. Like, who's the puppet master pulling all the strings here? Yeah. And what do they want, you know?
What is their end game, and how do they even know about magic? And what other magic did they destroy? Because they said that there's been other magic in their world.
Right. I mean, and obviously it's crossed over. I mean, you saw, like, it was Victorian London for real, and, like, Neverland was coming. So who else was it, unless it's like, the Wizard of Oz or Alice in Wonderland or just other things like that? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it gave me the feeling that this organization has a long history, some group that's gone through the ages and, you know, you could find in the history books around, like, the Salem witch trials or vampire hunts and werewolf hunts from history, that they were somehow involved in that and there was real magic or magical creatures involved and they eradicated them and then created these false histories around it or something.
Possibly. I'm interested to see where this goes because it's a really unique twist that I didn't really expect to see coming. I wasn't thinking dark, devious group that's going to try and wipe out magic. That's not what I had in mind when I was thinking of Greg and Tamara. So I kind of like it. It has a lot of potential.
Yeah, I hope they don't wrap it up really quickly. I'd really like this to be a major plot point in season 3. I think that'd be really cool to drag it out a bit more.
Yeah, and it's a great way to kind of look at things differently. Because this way we don't just have the perspective of the fairy tale characters. We have the perspective of these humans who think that they're doing the right thing. So you kind of have this new moral dilemma that they now have to kind of work out. I like it either way. So Greg tortures Regina to find out about his father, which doesn't get very far. At least the first portion of it doesn't get very far. But we'll get back to the torture. We do have Neil and Emma having an argument over Tamara. Emma is certain that Tamara is a part of all of this. And of course, Neil wants nothing to do with it. He doesn't believe them. He's got an excuse for everything for Tamara because he wants to believe that she loves him and that she's in it for him and their relationship and not some other purpose that has to do with magic. And so Emma and Neil kind of have a fight and there's that whole situation. Did you guys watch that and think, come on, Neil, you're smarter than this. Come on, Neil. Or were you just like, oh, yeah, he's totally suckered by the other girl?
I think he just doesn't want to be that guy. Like, he just doesn't want to be the guy that breaks up with the person who has been so good to him and everything else, and now he meets the old flame. Like, he's just trying to do the right thing and not screw the girl who's the fiancé, and he just doesn't want to admit to current feelings. Or I just think he's trying to be not, like, that jerky guy who dumps, like, the innocent person, you know?
No, I totally get that. I totally get him not wanting to buy into what Emma's saying because, well, it's Emma, and there's a history there, and it's complicated. But aren't there some signs, maybe, just a couple here and there, that Tamara isn't everything she says she is? And is he just blatantly ignoring them because of his fear of messing up with Emma?
I don't know. I mean, I think she was covering her tracks pretty well, especially with, you know, Emma didn't find anything in their room, and she searched the first time, and then she found sand, and, you know, Tamara comes running up the beach. I mean, she's clever. She's a pretty good villain so far, so I think it's understandable that Neil wouldn't be seeing those things. And of course, who wants to admit that, you know, their fiance is possibly not who they say they are? So I think, yeah, he is in a little bit of denial there, but I think he has a pretty solid reason to be.
All right. I just had to throw it out there because I was like, is he, you know, is he really looking, or is he kind of just like, no, I'm only going to see what I want to see. So just figured I'd throw it out to all of you. And then we go back to the lovely Victorian England, and we go back to the Darlings, and there we see a young bae who's now been taken into the family and is living with the Darlings. And Wendy talks to bae about the shadow that comes to visit her at night, and how the shadow is magic and he can fly and he can take them to this other world. And bae starts to freak out, and he doesn't want anything to do with magic, and he explains to Wendy why magic is bad, why magic is dangerous, and all of those lovely things. You think he has Wendy convinced, and then eventually Wendy actually goes with the shadow again, against Bae's wishes. So what did you guys think about his lecture on magic? I thought it was really kind of heartfelt, and it gives you the idea of exactly where Neil as a grown-up is coming from when you see Bae as a child.
I was just like, hallelujah, we have a child who can act and convey this with depth. Thank you.
This is true.
Yeah, I was going to say that all of those child actors were really great. I mean, the other two didn't really talk, but the one who played Wendy and the one who played young Bea, I thought they did a really fantastic job, and these scenes weren't, you know, difficult to watch like Henry is sometimes, but they were really great.
And the kid who played Michael was fine. He just looked cute and pouty and hugged his teddy, and that's really all he had to do, so that was okay.
Yeah, they were very well suited to be the Darling children with the rounded glasses and all of that good stuff. It was quite well done. So we leave Victorian England, and we're back on the hunt for Regina, because everyone now realizes that she's missing and that it's way too easy. Like, they go into Regina's office, and it's been left open. They can walk right in. They find the bean trees, or the bean sprouts, whatever you want to call them, and there are no beans in them, so they know something isn't right, and that, like, it just isn't Regina. She doesn't leave things so open. And so they actually start to worry about Regina and what's happened to her. So Prince Charming and Snow White go to see Rumple, because Rumple still owes them a favor. And they ask for him to do something for them to help them find Regina. So he whips out a bottle, as he's prone to do, and says, "Here's Regina's tear. You have to add one to it, and then you'll be able to see where Regina is." Which, A, Snow rightfully asks, "Why do you have Regina's tear?" And two, "Really, Rumple? You're tears? What is this craziness?" And in that scene, you also see Rumple tell Lacey to kind of go in the other room while I talk to them. Well, she doesn't really go in the other room, of course. She eavesdrops, being Lacey, who is kind of a bad girl. She's not going to just walk out of that situation and let it go, is she? So now we have this situation where Rumple's hooked up the Charmings with this tear of Regina's, which then Snow has to cry a tear into the bottle and then put the tear into her eye, and then she'll be able to see where Regina is. And then we have Lacey, who's overheard this whole idea of magic. And because of that, it seems like Rumple has gained kind of almost more power, or more like want to show off for Lacey to impress her. So he starts doing, you know, simple little things to show off for her. And then Lacey's agenda becomes a little bit more clear. She starts talking about wanting to live forever in immortality, and could you keep me young and beautiful? And so you start to really see Lacey's true colors, I think, in that situation as well. So what did you guys think of those kind of two scenes combined?
It's so frustrating because Rumple is so willing to change himself for a girl who clearly is using him. I mean, maybe Lacey does like him a little bit, but she's not in love with him, you know? And it's, I liked where Rumple was going when he was with Belle, because even though he was struggling with himself, he was heading down the right path, and now he's just completely walking the opposite direction. And it makes me wonder where, if they're going to continue this idea with Lacey about wanting immortality, and if maybe she's going to end up in Neverland or want to travel to Neverland or something like that, because I think it's not really coincidental that this is an episode very focused on Neverland and she mentions wanting to stay young and beautiful forever.
Yeah, I really, this whole storyline with Lacey is starting to just anger me, because I don't understand. There was so much growth and development that happened with Rumple's character, and I just don't understand what, where they're taking this. I mean, of course, we should find out, hopefully, next week what their kind of agenda is with this plot. But if it doesn't have some kind of a satisfying payoff, I just don't understand the point. It's just, it's so annoying to see a character develop so much only to just completely revert back. And she's just, it doesn't, I don't know, it's just frustrating, and she is so different from Belle, and it's just like, why, unless Rumple is just, he's so desperate for any kind of affection that he's willing to overlook, but then why wouldn't he continue to strive to get that affection from Bay? I mean, he spent how many hundreds of years trying to get his son back, and then he throws it all away for a girl that he is in love with, who's not really the same girl anyway. It just, it doesn't make sense.
It's almost like he's under a spell. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's been sucked into this, this ideal of this woman, and like, I don't know, it's just weird. I getcha.
It really is. It doesn't make any sense. His motive for so long has been Bay, and now all of a sudden he doesn't care? Like, I don't understand.
I do not either, but I think eventually more will come to light about that. It's just going to take some time. All right, so we go back to the torture scene where Greg is basically electrocuting Regina. And in fine Regina form, she basically taunts him. She's really not afraid. And she keeps insisting, you are going to be sorry. Do you know what you're doing? And Greg is pretty fearless because he has this mysterious group behind him. But I don't know. I would not be so willing to torture the evil queen and then be like, oh, you can't do anything about it. Because that's like tempting fate. That is asking for her to come after you. So I think Greg has pretty much dug himself a hole in this situation. Because, you know, electroshock therapy for Regina is not effective.
Yeah, and this is one of those times where the stubbornness and just tenacity in Regina's character that she is focused on evil for so long comes in handy, where you're just like, come on, girl, you stay strong and don't give in to this jerk. And I just, in spite of all the pain, which we really get an idea of how painful it is when we see Mary Margaret talking about it and how it was the worst pain she's ever felt, and Regina is a tough cookie.
I feel like Greg and Tamara have been brainwashed or something like that, because you're right, Jen. I mean, to do that to Regina is like tempting fate, and he obviously doesn't have any logic or common sense or something. So, and I mean, he's so willing to die, like you said, for their cause, and I just feel like there's something else going on that this company or whatever we're calling it is just, it's bad news.
Yes, I think they're going to be the new villain now that Cora is gone. I think this will be our villain for season 3. I'm going to call that right now. Which is kind of exciting because they're kind of mysterious and I like it. And you never know who's going to be a part of it because it's just kind of so vague at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much like this is the team that brought us Lost. You know, the first year they were fighting polar bears. You know, the next year, and the smoke monster, and then, like, the next year it was, like, the others, and then it was, well, there were people off the island, and then, like, they do seem rather good at creating new villains each time. Like, just when you think you've conquered something, there's a new villain, so makes sense.
But I think that's what helps keep the show fresh and kind of unique and different, so I'm kind of excited to see where they take this,
actually. they really need a new villain, because the whole Regina back and forth thing is starting to get very tired, and they can't continue to do that. So they need a new villain that they can all unite against.
Yeah. Like I said, I kind of like where they're going. I think it has a lot of potential, so it's kind of exciting. Now that we have Greg torturing Regina to find his father, we go back to Neil and Emma, who are still kind of fighting and not, you know, on the same page when it comes to Tamara. Emma is certain, Neil is, you know, certain in the complete opposite direction. So they go together to find Tamara to see if she's where she says she'll be. And they go to the beach because Emma discovers sand in her closet rather than mud, which would be found in the forest where she's supposed to be running. So while at the beach, they do run into Tamara, who is clearly keeping an eye out for anyone showing up. And she kind of's like, oh yeah, this is what I do, blah, 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 blah. And Neil's like, see, Emma, I told you so. And so after Tamara takes off, Neil and Emma kind of have a moment. One of several moments that they share during this particular episode. And Neil says, I wanted to love you. And he kind of explains that he wanted to go to jail for her. He wanted to do all of these things. But August said that he couldn't. And he kind of regrets that in a lot of ways. But that he wanted to love her. Not that he does love her still or did or whatever. But that he wanted to. Were you guys like, come on, dude, just say it. Just say that you love her. You know that you love her. Just spit it out and be done with it. Or were you kind of like, oh, that's kind of sweet, I guess.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird way to put it, wasn't it? Like, well, I don't love you now, and I guess I wanted to love you before, but, you know, leaving it all ambiguous like that, I don't know. It was a weird way to phrase it.
Well, you know, these two, they've been on opposite paths for so long, and they're both so unsure of the other person. They reunite, and on Neil's perspective, he abandoned Emma, so he assumes that she hates him for abandoning her. And then Emma sees Neil, and he's got this new fiance, so she thinks that he's moved on. And so they're both in that, like, that stage where you think the other doesn't like you, so you don't want to say anything. And then Emma has this moment where she finally cracks and is like, what do you want me to say that I didn't wait for you to come? And so she finally shows a crack of vulnerability, and it's like Neil is kind of poking it and testing to see how deep that crack goes. And he's afraid to go too far vulnerable himself, because what if she really doesn't feel that way? And it's just this whole mess of of not understanding and caution and I don't know, but it was this moment especially where I really started to get behind these two, because you see them trying so hard to do the right thing and battling with these deep scars.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it. They try to fight the inevitable in a lot of ways, it feels like. I think from the moment we saw them, you know, when she tackles him in New York City, you kind of just, there's a spark there. No matter what, you can't deny it. They're both just kind of taken aback by all of it, and it's still there, even though there's a million and one complications in the way. So to have these kind of moments, I think, is really cool. And I thought it was an interesting way for him to express feelings, and at the same time, like you said, it's a very guarded way to express things, too. So while they're having this heart-to-heart, they talk to Snow White right afterwards, and Snow says, you know, I've been in Regina's kind of mind, if you will, and I've seen where she is, but I can't make anything out. But she's being tortured. She's in horrible pain. And the only thing Snow can really remember is, like, a smell of fish or sardines. Sardines is an interesting thing. Like, it's very specific, I guess.
Right?
I was like, really? You're going to... Sardines! I'm like...
As opposed to the trout smell. Like,
I know!
Like,
let's go!
Yeah.
Yes, that raw sardine smell that's such a common... Like, really? Yeah, no. Just bad.
No,
just so
it was a little excessive descriptor right there.
And she encountered sardines so frequently in the Enchanted Forest that she knows exactly what they smell like.
Obviously, so, yeah. Laura, it was like a delicacy there. Come on. That leads Emma to realize that they're standing in front of a cannery, and that is why Tamara is at the cannery. That's why she's at the beach, didn't so close. This is why everything is happening, is that is where Regina is being held. So she's determined to go inside and look for Regina, who she is kind of concerned about, actually, which is, again, it's always this back and forth with them. So she's going inside, and Neil's like, you're not going in there alone. She's like, even if it proves that Tamara is bad. If Tamara is hiding Regina here in her evil lair, I have your back. Which I thought was just such an interesting, funny little statement for him to say. I'm like, yes, because Tamara has an evil lair. Even though you said she's good and that she's not this person and all this other stuff, clearly. So he goes in with them. In with her, and then Charming and Snow are on their way. In the meantime, Regina is still being tortured, and she, like, takes the taunts to Greg to a whole new level. And he's basically saying, fine, the others are coming, we have to go, but I'm not done with you. You're going to tell me where my father is. And so Regina goes, no, wait. And, like, you think she's gone all soft and weak, and she's gonna play nice about it? And instead, she throws out the, yes, I killed your father, and I want to see the look on your face when I tell you what I did with him. And you're like, whoa. Regina's not going down without a fight, and she's going to take everyone with her and make you feel horrible about everything as well. So she kind of lays it on him that she killed his father right away and buried him at the campsite where they were. Were you guys surprised that she killed his father?
I'm not sure she was telling the truth. I mean, I think, or maybe not the whole truth. Like, maybe he died and that's where he's buried, or maybe she indirectly killed him. I'm wondering if she did really kill him in cold blood. I don't know. I just think it's more complicated than that.
Yeah, it seemed a little too quickly. Like, it seemed very anticlimactic for her to be like, oh yes, I killed him and he's buried there. Like, it didn't seem quite fitting with everything else we've seen happen.
Yeah, I thought that she was lying about it, that she didn't really kill him, that there was something else. But, I mean, it appears that she was telling the truth later, but, I mean, there still feels like there's more to it, like Laura was saying.
So then we go inside the cannery, and this is where all the bad things happen. So once all of the Charmings and Emma and Neil are inside the cannery, they kind of pair off and go in search of Regina. Charming busts in and finds Greg torturing Regina, and he shoots at Greg. He's kind of gotten very comfortable with the gun. Anyone else notice that? He used to be a man with a sword, now he's a man with a gun. It's very interesting. But Greg gets away, interestingly, because Snow stops Charming from going after him and says, no, we have to help Regina. Why Snow couldn't help Regina while Charming chased after Greg is confusing to me.
Yeah, I don't know why it was a two-person job.
They can't multitask? I don't get it.
Well, it seemed to me like they immediately took Regina to the Blue Fairy because they were back at the apartment later while Emma was still there, and so she couldn't carry Regina by herself.
Okay, that's a good point.
All right, I'll give them that one, but it seemed a little too easy for Greg to get away is all I'm saying.
Yeah, they didn't strap her on a mobile gurney, or she just could have wheeled her through all of Storybrooke.
Oh, that would have been hilarious.
That would have been great.
Look out, emergency, wheeling the evil queen. Look out. Yeah, no.
So we have that kind of taken care of now. But Tamara is not anywhere in that action. And actually, Tamara finds Neil and Emma. And funnily enough, Neil is still saying how Tamara can't be involved, just as Tamara knocks Emma out with a nice steel pipe. So, there's that. Totally proving Neil wrong. And in that moment, Neil is... I felt so bad for him. Because as he's talking to her, saying, you never loved me, this was never about me, this was only about the magic. And you feel every ounce of pain that he's ever felt as a child, because it's only ever had to do with the magic. No one's ever truly loved him. And that's kind of the feeling you get from it. And it's just so heartbreaking to watch that. How did you guys feel about that? Did you get that same vibe from him?
Yeah, definitely. And the fact is, too, that he's such an innocent bystander. You know, really, when you come down to it, you know, he didn't do anything inappropriate with Tamara at all, you know, and he's just kind of sucked into it. I mean, you felt like for a second there, she was just going to let him go because he truly had nothing to do with anything. Like, he's a victim of magic more than anything else. But just because, like, he walked towards her, it was like, yep, nope, real easy decision. I'm going to shoot you. And I was like, well, that sucks, you know?
Yeah, I was a little surprised that she shot him. I'm not going to lie. Like, she took that a little farther than I was expecting. I expected her to have some remorse about Neil. But I guess he was just kind of...
Yeah, now here's the thing, too. Now, not everyone who's in Storybrooke has magic. Like, clearly, Rumple and Regina and the Blue Fairy are the purveyors of magic. I mean, and I guess if you wanted to take it to a slightly, like, more complex level, you could say maybe the dwarves because they're mining the fairy dust and, you know, a couple of other folks. But there are other people that are not, like, inherently magical. You know, they, like, I mean, Snow is not inherently magical. David is not inherently magical. Like, magic happens around them. They don't possess it. So this thought of we're going to kill everybody else, I'm like, there are a lot of innocent bystanders there. Like, I don't understand, like, why they're so willing just to kill other people off, you know, in support of their cause, because their cause is magic is bad. So why are you going to kill all these innocents? Like, I get killing Regina, I get killing Rumple, but I don't understand, like, why would you kill Mary Margaret? Why would you kill Henry? They don't want magic. They don't have anything to do with magic. So I guess I don't understand part of that.
I think it's just because they come from a land of magic. It's almost like they're tainted somehow with the magic. Like, it's a part of their being, their DNA, even if they don't actively use it or something. Like, I feel like that's kind of the way that they look at it. They want to eradicate any other beings from different worlds, period, that have magic, maybe.
I agree, because, like, you know, they're foreign. They don't belong in this world, and even if they don't have magic, they're from that land, and they're not, I mean, I guess they're human, but they're just different. And I think, you know, that's where that brainwashing comes in. And even shooting Neil, I mean, Tamara's known Neil for, I don't know how long exactly, but I mean, she obviously has to care about him at least a little bit as a friend or, you know, somebody she's known for a year maybe or something like that. And just to shoot him like that, that's why I just feel like whatever this company is, it's bad news. It's just completely brainwashing all of them.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for Neil. He is one of the most tragic characters that I have ever seen. I mean, just from his birth, he just gets the raw end of the stick every single time.
Yeah, and like you were saying, Laura, I mean, he's totally innocent. He hasn't done anything bad, and it just keeps happening to him. It's like he's cursed or something.
Yeah, and what he wants most, too, and it just came out, is what he wants most is a family. I mean, it's interesting that he didn't say what I want most is to be reunited with my father. Like, when Wendy was being, he was being pulled away from Wendy, he said, thank you for letting me be a part of your family. That's really what he wants. He wants to be a part of a family, and I think he kind of has that with Emma and Henry, and maybe Rumple will never be a part of that, but you do. You just feel so bad that every time he tries to create a family, it just falls apart on him.
Very true. And this leads us to what happens when Emma wakes up from being bashed in the head. Emma realizes that Tamara is actually going to kill Neil. And, of course, that doesn't settle very well with her. So we kind of get this Tamara-Emma showdown. And I'm kind of going to be honest, I was hoping for a little more. But because there's just something about Emma when she's fierce and protecting people that you get this whole new sense of who she could be and who she would have been if she were in the fairy tale world. So she and Tamara kind of fight it out. And in the process, Tamara pulls out one of the magic beans and throws it where Emma is. And Emma's almost sucked into this kind of portal. And then what we see next is so painfully gut-wrenching, because Neil saves Emma, pulls her over, and then the floor starts to collapse beneath them, and Neil slides into the portal, and Emma's holding on to him, and they have this moment where she's like, I love you, I still love you. And Neil's like, I love you too, but you have to be here for Henry, we can't both go, and you can't hold on to both of us right now. And Emma's like, you're gonna die, you'll shot, no matter where you end up, you'll die. And Neil lets go, even though she's begging him not to. Probably one of the more gut-wrenching scenes I think we've seen in a really long time. And it was just, it was so sad because they were finally getting to a place where they could function. And now we've lost Neil, and we don't know where Neil has gone. We know nothing about that. So that will clearly carry over until the third season. I don't think we'll really know much about Neil until then. And then Emma goes back and has to tell everyone that she says Neil is dead. In her mind, Emma was very focused on the fact that Neil is dead. In her mind, there's no possible way he survived this. But let's face it, is that a reality? I don't think so. I think there's every possibility that Neil lives. Especially because Neil is such a pivotal character at this point in time. This is way too easy a kill-off, let's say. I don't think it's possible. It's too open-ended. There is no body. If there's no body, it's not possible. And sometimes even if there is
so
a body.
I'm so mad if he is killed off, I can't even tell you. I will be so pissed. This is I was annoyed enough that I was like, oh, come on, just kiss her. I did like the I love you, but I was like, oh,
thank
come
you.
On.
I did have a moment where I really wanted him to kiss her as well. I'm like, would you just please get it over with?
It's like, I'm sorry, this is now my ship, and I'm probably going to become very annoying on this podcast with this being my ship, but I'm just like, no, bring them back. So, yeah.
I just was like, hold on for just a few more seconds. Come on.
Like someone has to come and help pull him out of this. Come on. Anyone charming, where are you?
Yeah, don't give up and just let go. At least try to hold on.
I was yelling at my TV. I wanted Emma to jump in after him because I was like, hey, Henry has, Gramps and Mary Margaret. And I was like, Emma can go after Neil, okay?
Well, there was a part of me that really thought she was going to let go and go with him. There really was. And I was like, yeah. Oh, that would be kind of cool. The two of them separated somewhere else trying to survive. Neither one who has ever actually lived in a fairy tale world, now in a fairy tale world. I thought that had a whole lot of potential.
It would have been so awesome for their relationship, too. Like, obviously, probably a lot of strain, but I think they would have gotten a lot closer.
Maybe Neil will go back to the Enchanted Forest and fall on top of Mulan and Aurora.
I was just thinking that, too. Like, because Mulan and Aurora could save him. They could find a way.
Well, I kind of think that maybe he's going to Neverland because, you know, nobody grows up in Neverland. I wonder if that means, you know, if he's shot, will he just, not die or something like that? So, and I mean, the next episode says the title Straight On Till Morning, so that's obviously another Peter Pan reference, so maybe we'll be going to Neverland.
True. Well, that's the big kind of prediction, but we'll get to that in a minute. Let's just finish up the conversation, then we'll get to our predictions. So Emma's definitely a defeatist in this sense. She thinks that he is dead. And kind of one of the last things we get or we end up seeing is we know that Bay lets himself be taken by the shadow instead of one of the darling children. And so he goes in one of their places because they only want boys. They don't want to keep Wendy, which is a clear deviation from the original Peter Pan story. So he only wants boys. He wants nothing to do with Wendy. And none of the children can leave Neverland once they are there. So we see the shadow take Bay and drop Bay into the ocean, who is then fished out by none other than our lovely Captain Hook. So this is the start of Hook and Bay and how they know each other, and clearly how Bay learned how to captain the Jolly Roger. And that's kind of where we're at until the very end, where Tamara and Greg have the black diamond, it looks like. And everyone's kind of like, ooh, what's the black diamond for? Well, the Black Diamond is a self-destruct button Regina had put into Storybrooke just in case she ever needed to blow the place up or whatever it is that it does. So she now has to admit to everybody that she's always had this kind of self-destruct button, and now basically the enemy has it. And at the end, Tamara and Greg are discussing it and saying that, you know, the powers that be want them to destroy Storybrooke. They need to put this into play now. So here's the thing. If Storybrooke gets destroyed, that's one issue. The second issue is no one can leave Storybrooke and keep their memory. So where are they going to go? Because if they leave the boundaries, they'll all forget who they are. And clearly in the preview we saw, Storybrooke is being destroyed. So.
Oh, good point. I mean, obviously Emma and Henry can leave, but that's not real great for the rest of them. So,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, we have an entire town that will lose who they are.
Well, there's an entire bean plant or something. Can they water it with, magic water and have that go somewhere, or
you know. The thing is, there's at least one more bean, because when Tamara opened up the pod, there was two in there, and who knows if, you know, there was more than one pod, but there's definitely a second bean, so maybe they're going to have to get their hands on that.
Maybe, and that would also, and this is where the, you know, straight on through till morning, and comes in, and this is why everyone's predicting that the next place we'll go is to Neverland, because it looks as if Storybrooke will be no more, that it will be gone, and that we'll have to go someplace new. So season three could very well end up in an entirely different world, and we can never go back to Storybrooke. So,
oh, that'd be interesting.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Those are a lot of the predictions that are out there right now, because we have the two titles related to Peter Pan, and we have this kind of ominous thing of Storybrooke being destroyed. And in the previews, we can see it. We see Regina trying to hold it back, but at the same time, she says, I can't constantly do it. It's not possible. So, what do you guys think about all of that fun stuff?
Well, if they did all go to Neverland and we didn't go back to Storybrooke, what would happen with this order? Would they just disappear, or would they follow them to Neverland? Because, I mean, then they would be out of our world, so the magic would be gone. So, it seems kind of weird that they would introduce this mystery to not follow through on it.
Right.
I get it, but although, how are they going to get themselves out of the if you leave story, bro?
They all pile on Hook's ship. Who knows? Maybe that's it. I mean, Hook's ship is still in the harbor. How many people can Hook's... I mean, it can't fit the whole town, but I bet you a lot of people pile onto Hook's ship and somehow that's used as an escape pod of some type.
Well, and I'm sure, like, I feel like there's probably some way that Regina and Rumpel combined will figure out something. Like, maybe Rumpel's working on a way to stop the failsafe while Regina stalls by holding the thing, and she's running out of time holding it, which is when she says the line we saw, and then Rumpel comes through in the 11th hour to stop this chain of events that started or something. I mean, you know, you never know what they could do. They could figure out a way to stop the failsafe.
Or what about Emma? Isn't her magic supposed to be even stronger because she's the product of true love?
It will be interesting to see how they get themselves out of this kind of corner they seem to be in at the moment. So I really do like the idea of them being in another world, or us even going back and seeing what's happened with Mulan and Sleeping Beauty since we last saw them. Because I think that would be really cool. But that'll all be in season three. Next week, they just have to somehow survive Storybrooke's destruction.
I really do hope we see more of Neverland, though, because I am fascinated by this take that they've done on Neverland. Like, that shadow creature was freaky.
Yes, it was.
I'm so creeped out. And let's face it, so do we have evil Peter Pan? Like, that's great.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. At first, I thought it was like one of the, what were they, the Fade that killed Prince Philip? Right. Or whatever those were, like the Dementor-esque. Uh-huh. At first, when I saw him coming, kind of flowy, I was like, are you kidding me right now? But then when I saw him, I was like, oh no, he's kind of like charcoaly and cool. I like it. So it would be cool to see what that is and what the mythology is behind this version of Peter Pan. I think that'd be really cool. So I am hoping that we get some more of that.
And Tinkerbell. Too. I still want Psycho Tinkerbell.
Mm-hmm. Very angry Tinkerbell.
Which I'm thinking we could definitely get Psycho Tinkerbell with this crazy... Like, I'm wondering if it's one of those things where during the day everything is nice and pretty and the sweet fairies and mermaids, and then at night it's like the fangs and the crazy come out, and that's why the kids get so sad and cry, and you know, it goes from like dreamland to nightmareland or something.
That would be cool. I'm not gonna lie.
I can't. And like, why does the shadow need the boys? What do they do? What's the purpose? Like, there's just so much I want
to
know.
Well, I think he takes the boys because they become the lost boys. They become the boys that Hook needs to captain his ship, because he immediately brought the boy to Hook.
Well, Bay used his lighter so that the shadow dropped him.
Right.
He wasn't intended.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, he used the shadow, and the shadow tried to get him, but he couldn't go under the water, and Hook saved Bay's life by fishing him out.
Oh, never mind. I missed that somehow. But that's interesting. That's even more interesting, then, that Hook saved Bay. That has a whole nother set of implications.
Right?
All right. So do you guys have any other predictions for the last episode or next season? Or we can just go with the last episode and we can talk next season at the end of next episode.
I definitely don't feel like we're going to see Neil until next year, which sucks on so many levels. We're just not going to see Neil. I think what they're going to do is they're definitely going to find more than one way to get to like another world, and whether or not it is the same world that Neil ended up in, like, I feel like it's going to be Hook's ship and they're going to find another bean. So there's going to be like two big ways for everybody to escape Storybrooke. That's what I feel. And I also hope that they kill Regina, but that's okay. Maybe that's just me. Can we blow up Regina?
She's just becoming redeemable again. I feel like they're finally fully on the same team.
Again, yeah. For like the 47th time.
Right,
but
right.
This time I have hope. Yeah. I do have
but
hope in
but
Regina
I'm okay
this
at
time.
This point with them blowing up Rumple too. Like, can we just blow up Rumple and Regina and just put everyone out of each other's misery? Just get the two of them gone.
Yeah, the way Rumple is right now, I would be fine with that. Before, I would have been like, no, 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 I love him. But now I'm just, he's gross.
Yeah, Rumple kind of has disappointed me with this whole Lacey spiel. But I think Regina's been manipulated so much this past season. And then I think she's fully realized that Snow has saved her numerous times without reason. She didn't have to go find her. They could have let him torture her and kill her. And yet they went to save her anyway. So I think this was kind of sealing the deal for Regina on where her loyalty lies and what she needs to do and who she needs to work with. That's just my opinion, though. So I am not pro blow up Regina.
Which, by the way, did anybody else notice that last week Regina couldn't take off the cuff and get her magic back, but now the cuff is gone, so she has her magic back?
Yeah, like, how was it that it was so easy for them to get it off? Like, as the Blue Fairy's going, well, now that the cuff is off, like, tell me she just, like, picked it off. Like, really?
Clearly, the Blue Fairy is very special, okay? I don't know.
Well, even so, didn't Greg or Tamara say that even if you take it off, like, the metal or whatever is inside?
Right. Yeah!
You, so...
I mean, we discussed this for, like, 10 minutes last
year.
It was our whole X-Men theme. Yes.
Yeah.
Continuity.
So, okay.
People, continuity. Yeah.
Where's Magneto, right? Where was he this episode?
Yes. I think there were a couple continuity flubs. So, anyway, we'll see what next week brings if Regina really does have a whole lot of magic back, which it looked like she did, or if her magic is still left wanting because of the bracelet. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So, if nobody has anything else, let's get into our listener feedback.
Anon says, I think August procured Henry for Regina through Gold. Gold knew who August was and knew that he could enter and exit Storybrooke. And he also knew that August was kind of a shady character and could probably obtain a baby illegally. I do believe that Gold didn't know who Henry's parents were, but August sure did. He wanted the curse to be broken, and he purposely got a hold of Emma's son so that he would someday lead Emma back to Storybrooke to break the curse. That's an interesting theory. Do we know if Gold knew that August was there?
We don't, that I'm aware of, that I can recall. We could be wrong, so somebody can email or comment in and let us know. But they did kind of know each other when August arrived in town, didn't they?
Yeah, but you got the sense that... Well, but I don't know, but didn't, like, August, like, whip open the magical typewriter or whatever it was to kind of show him who he was? Like, didn't he didn't know who he was right away. It was that he kind of opened up that, you know, the showed him that he knew that he was Rumpelstiltskin's son or whatever. So he didn't 100% know him?
Well, but, like, did Gold know, like, before, when he would have been getting Henry for Regina, would he have known August?
I don't think he would have.
Anywhere. Because at that point, Gold was under the curse.
Right. So I'm going to say no, he did not know.
Or are they just saying that Gold knew who August was when August came back to Storybrooke, like when Emma was there? And not that he knew, like, that August was Pinocchio, but that he knew who August the man was because he had seen him before when he got Henry.
That makes more sense. And I think it would be really interesting if August was the one that got Henry for gold and for Regina. Because it's clearly the lore that brought Emma into Storybrooke, what was needed to break the curse. And August did know about that, right?
August knew about the curse. Yeah. Yeah, right. August knew all of that. Yeah, he had the information.
Right, so I think it's really interesting that if that it's a possibility as to how Henry got there and why Henry, of all children, was placed in that situation. And how he ended up with the storybook that told him all the stories of the fairy tales. Because clearly August was the one who had been writing in it, correct?
Right.
So, yeah, or at least fixing it.
Right, so right. It kind of links him to it. And it kind of makes sense, don't you think?
Yeah, so maybe we could do it.
Okay, Karen, do you want to read the next one?
Sure. Cynthia says, just listen to your most recent podcast. You mentioned the bow and arrow being introduced. It actually already made an appearance earlier in the season, or perhaps last season, when Snow used it to try to kill Regina. I don't remember too much about it other than Charming getting there in time to stop her. I think that was after she took the potion to forget Charming. Oh yeah, I do remember that now, because it was the bow and arrow to find, you know, its true target, and she wanted to kill Regina. Yeah, so it's popped up a couple times now. That's interesting. It's got to be a bit more significant than I would think.
And Rumple gave Snow the bow in that instance, right?
Right, I think so.
So then he had to get it from Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. I still want Robin Hood back.
Me too.
Well, maybe someone will end up in Sherwood Forest. So that wraps up this episode of Onceable. As always, feel free to contact us via email, which is onceable@hypeable.com, through Twitter at Once Upon News, and on any of the comment posts for any Once Upon a Time news. Thank you guys all for listening, and next week we will be bringing you the final episode of this season, which I'm sure will be packed with all kinds of crazy goodness. So until then, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Karen.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.